I invite you to open your Bible, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1. This is the third and final sermon on the Holy Spirit as it relates in the book of Acts to being an unhindered church, preaching an unhindered gospel. And today we want to talk about the relationship between the Holy Spirit and evangelism, His work in our lives when we're sharing the gospel with lost people, when we're witnessing. And the truth is, every person in this room, at different moments in our spiritual lives, feel like we've blown it when it comes to evangelism and witnessing. Feel like we just didn't meet expectations. We feel inadequate, right? Earlier this week, I had the opportunity to speak with someone and bring Jesus into the conversation. I didn't do it. Really, it wasn't until later when I was reflecting on the encounter that suddenly the light came on and it dawned on me, you know, man, I could have said something. And I didn't. And that's when I felt like I had blown it. You ever feel like that? You ever have experiences like that? Truth is, every one of us have at different points. And I also know, let's just be honest for a minute. I know that some of you, as soon as I use the word evangelism, as soon as I mention witnessing, you shut down, right? Now, it's not because you're a bad person or you're a bad Christian or whatever. You just shut down. A lot of different reasons. Some of you are tired of feeling guilty. You've gone to church and you've heard all kinds of sermons on witnessing and evangelism and you felt convicted, you felt guilty, but nothing changed. And you're just tired of feeling guilty about the subject, and it's easier just to shut down, tune it out, and not listen, right? Some of you feel woefully inadequate as a Christian to talk with someone else about being saved, about a relationship with Christ. You say things like, I don't know the Bible, I don't know how to answer their questions, I'm afraid I'll say something wrong. Some in this room lack confidence. You're really shy, perhaps. Maybe you had a bad experience in the past. You were sharing with someone else, or someone was sharing with you before you became a believer, and it was just an awkward moment, and you don't want any more awkward moments. There are even some who don't think it's their responsibility as a Christian to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. So let's just get real. All of us blow it at times, right? All of us at times feel inadequate. And a lot of us just shut down and don't want to hear anything about it, don't want to think about it. It doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to shut down. You don't have to be inadequate. You don't have to be a failure. You see, one of the keys to evangelism as a believer is to understand what the Holy Spirit does in this whole process. To understand the work and the role of the Holy Spirit in this whole subject matter of evangelism and witnessing. And I want us to talk about that. Look in the book of Acts and learn some things today. And let me say this. I'm asking you. Here's my hope. Okay, here's my hope. It is my hope that today you will let me help you. That you will allow me to share with you from God's Word some things that maybe you've forgotten or some things you don't know that will help you in your Christian life when it comes to this whole subject matter of evangelism and witnessing. It's my sincere hope that you will allow God to help you. That you will allow God to do a work in your life. You see, I believe that if you're a follower of Christ, you love the Lord and you want to be obedient and you want to grow and you want to see people come to know Christ and you want to be an obedient witness. And so will you let God work in your life today? Don't shut down. Perk up, listen up, take some notes and say, God, teach me today. Ask God to teach you. Ask God to stir something in your heart and soul today. Will you do that? Do you want that? Do you want that? Will you do that? Will you let God do that in your life today? Say something. Yes, no, say, will you let God do that? Does that interest you at all? Say something, church. Does it? Okay. Because the only way you're ever going to grow is you let God do it. The only way anything's ever going to change is you just cooperate with God and say, okay, God, here I am. Do it. I want it right now. All right, one verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus, before he goes back to the Father, says, you will receive power when? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and other places. Now, that verse is so candid, so direct. I mean, it's a strong verse. Notice the connection. Notice the linkage here. He says, when the Holy Spirit is in your life and you are filled with Him, what happens? You have power. You have boldness. You have energy. You have strength. And the result of that is you might be a witness. Now, what does he say? What does it look at it, church? What does the Bible say? You got to look at the Bible. What does the Bible say? You will be. You shall be. Look at that linkage. When the Holy Spirit's in your life, you will have power. And when the Holy Spirit gives you power, you will be, you shall be witnesses. It's that simple. The Holy Spirit is the key to us as believers being effective in our evangelism and sharing the gospel with other people. Strong statement. But it's also a promise. Because God promises us that if we are filled with the Spirit, we will have the power we need to be a witness. So there's a clear connection. Today we're going to look at two things real quickly. First, we're going to look at the work the Holy Spirit does in my life and in your life as believers, as Christians, when we witness. And then secondly, we're going to look at the work the Holy Spirit does in the life of a lost person when we are talking to them about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Those two things. So let's begin by looking at what the Holy Spirit does in us as believers when we are surrendered to Him, filled with Him, and sharing the gospel with people who are lost. Several things I want you to see. The first one is that He gives us boldness. Even shy people. I was painfully shy before I became a believer. I mean, embarrassingly shy. I could tell you story after story of my shyness. But I can tell you from not only Scripture but my own experience that the Holy Spirit can take even a shy person and give us a boldness when it comes to living for the Lord and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who are lost. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, two of the disciples, the apostles, are arrested because they're ministering in Jesus' name. People are being healed and people are being saved. They spend a whole night in jail. Go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 4. We're going to look at several verses in the book of Acts. And so the following morning, they're brought into trial, if you will, and they're standing in the middle of the room before all of these people who are antagonistic toward them. And you'll notice in verse 7 in chapter 4, it says, when they had placed them in the center of the room, in the center of the crowd, they began to inquire, by what power or what name have you done this? And then verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. And he went on to witness to them. And in verse 10, said it's through the power of Christ. And then in verse 12, I think it is, he says, only in the name of Christ can anybody be saved. That's the only name given among men from heaven that people can be saved by. And so here's this guy. Now get the picture. He's been arrested, spent the whole night in jail. He's standing in the middle of a room filled with people who are antagonistic toward him and toward his Christianity. And when it's time to speak, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And what does he do? He makes no bones about it. He makes a straight line for the cross, a straight line for Jesus. And he has the boldness in that setting to speak for Jesus Christ. That only happens in the fullness of the Spirit of God. And it's possible for all of us in this room to have that kind of power, that kind of boldness, that kind of fullness of the Spirit. Well, they're eventually released, and Peter makes his way to a house where the church had been praying for him. And at the end of chapter 4 in verse 31, the Bible tells us when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all, notice this, filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with what? Do you have your Bibles open? I don't know how to teach you God's word if you don't have God's word. How did they speak the word of God? Boldness. With boldness. And so the first thing I want you to get from Scripture is that the Holy Spirit, when He fills us as a believer, when it comes to witnessing and evangelism, He gives us a boldness. And it's not something we have in and of ourselves. It is a gift of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. The second thing is that he guides us. He prompts us. Turn to chapter 8 in the book of Acts. It's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. This Ethiopian had been to Jerusalem to worship, and he was making his way back to Africa, riding in a chariot, reading the Old Testament scripture, the book of Isaiah. And God directs Philip into the desert. And all of a sudden, Philip and this Ethiopian, their paths cross. And one of the things you're going to learn in life when you walk in the Spirit of God is that he will create these holy intersections in your life. That God will prompt you to go here, to go there. And it's going to be one of those holy intersections when you encounter someone that God has there for you to say a word to encourage, to share something about Jesus Christ with them. God will create those circumstances in your life. It's like the one earlier this week that I missed. God created it, but I wasn't walking in the fullness of the Spirit in that moment, and I didn't see it. I didn't notice it. I didn't capture it. But God will create those intersections in our lives. And so Philip meets this guy, and look at verse 29 of chapter 8. Verse 29, and the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. See, one of the things the Holy Spirit does in us as believers when we're witnessing for Christ is he prompts us to go here. He prompts us to go there. He prompts us to speak to this person. He guides us. He prompts us. How many of you have ever had a time in your life? Okay, just think a minute. A moment when you felt God telling you to say something to somebody. You ever had that experience? You ever had one of those occasions when you just felt God nudging you to invite somebody to church? God nudging you to pray for someone? God just putting somebody on your heart and he wants you to send them a note. He wants you to give them a call. He wants you to talk to them. Have you ever felt God prompting you to do something for somebody else like that? Well, that's what's going on here. The Holy Spirit living within us prompts us and guides us. There's another example. Turn to chapter 11 in the book of Acts. Chapter 11. Story of Peter and Cornelius. Cornelius is this Gentile. But he's very spiritual. He's already worshiping the Jewish God in Jerusalem. He's just very interested in spiritual things. And he's praying. And during his prayer in chapter 10, God gives him a vision and tells him to send to this other city for this apostle Peter. In the meanwhile, Peter is over here in this other city and he's asleep and he has a vision. And in this vision, God lets Peter see this sheet coming down from heaven filled with all these unclean animals that a devout Jew was not to eat. And God commands him to eat it. He's teaching him a lesson. And then all of a sudden, these guys from Cornelius' house shows up asking Peter to come with them to visit Cornelius. And he does. He goes with them. And when he gets there, he goes into the house of a Gentile, and a Jew, a devout Jew, is not supposed to go into the house of a Gentile, but he does it anyway. And he shares the gospel, and Cornelius gets saved, and Cornelius' family becomes believers, and they all get baptized. And in chapter 11, Peter is now back in Jerusalem, and he's telling the believers in Jerusalem, the home church, about that experience. I mean, this is the first time that Gentiles had gotten saved. And so Peter's telling him all about, telling them all about it. And in chapter 11, verse 12, notice what Peter said. He said, the Spirit told me to go with them, with these people that had come from Cornelius, asking him to visit Cornelius. He said, the Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. So here's another example, the Holy Spirit of God prompting us to talk to people, prompting us to go there, to go here, to say something to somebody. He does that in our lives. In chapter 16, you can jot that verse down and look at it when you get home. This is a negative example. Chapter 16 is an example of the Spirit of God saying, don't go somewhere. Don't speak to that person, but rather over here. Because the Apostle Paul is on his second missionary journey. Silas is now traveling with him. And they pass through Phrygia and Galatia, and the Spirit of God forbids them to speak the Word of God in that region. And they eventually make their way to Troas because God wanted them in Troas, not in Galatia. So sometimes the Spirit of God will prompt you, go here, don't go there. Speak to this person, no, not now. He guides us. He prompts us. Now there's a big difference. There's a big difference in not speaking because you're afraid. Because you feel inadequate. Big difference between that and not speaking, because God says, no, I've got someone else I want you to talk to right now. God always knows what's going on when He orchestrates this stuff. You and I have to listen to His voice. We have to listen to His promptings, to His guidance in our lives. So the second thing is He guides us, He prompts us. First thing was He gives us boldness. Here's the third thing. He precedes us. The Holy Spirit precedes us. He always goes before us. Listen, write this down. You never go anywhere where God is not already present. You never go to any place where God is not already present. Did you know that? You can't be anywhere and God not already be there. Here's something else. You never speak to anyone whom God has not already spoken to. You never witness to anybody that God has not already spoken to. Think about that. You never blaze new territory. Everywhere you go, God's already there. Everyone you witness to, everyone you invite to church, everyone you pray for, God has already spoken to them. God always precedes us, always goes in front of us. Look at those two stories we already talked about. Philip and the Ethiopian. Ethiopian had already been to Jerusalem to worship, on his way back home reading the Old Testament book of Isaiah. When Philip showed up, God was already working in his life. Peter and Cornelius, this Gentile, already a spiritual man, he was praying when God spoke to him and said, send for this guy named Peter that he'd never met before. And when Peter showed up at his house to witness, God had already been working in Cornelius' life. And I could go with example after example after example after example. You and I may not always know that God's talking to them. We don't always see the evidence of it. They won't always tell us. But I'm telling you, you never witness to anybody whom God has not already in some form or fashion spoken to. Now, you may be the one planting early seed. You may be the one watering the seed. There may be those beautiful occasions when you're the one that God allows to bring in the harvest. But the biblical teaching is that it is always God giving the increase. It's His garden, not mine and not yours. I'm the farmer. I get to plant, I get to water, I get to cultivate, to hoe, to put the fertilizer out. I'm the workman in the field, but it's God's fields, and what goes on in somebody's heart is a work of God, and I can't always see that. But I have faith in God based on His word that is always happening. And that doesn't mean they're always going to tell me, doesn't mean they're always going to say yes, doesn't mean they're always going to get saved. But folks, God's always working in people's lives. So He precedes us. He precedes us. That encourages me. To know that when I go somewhere, God's already there. When I witness to somebody, God's already been talking to them. Here's the fourth and final thing about the work of the Holy Spirit in us as believers when we witness. He helps us with what to say. When we start talking about Jesus, He helps us with what to say. In chapter 6 is the story of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. he's preaching to this huge crowd. And in verse 10 of chapter 6, the Bible says, look at this. We looked at this last Sunday. They were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. The Holy Spirit helping Stephen in front of really an antagonistic, hostile crowd. And they weren't able to cope with it because the Spirit was guiding him. In John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus, speaking about the Holy Spirit, said this. He said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, notice this, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Jesus told these 12 disciples, I'm getting ready to go back to heaven and you're worried about that. Don't worry. You're not going to be alone because the Holy Spirit's going to be with you and help you. And everything I've been teaching you these 3 years, everything you've heard me say, He's going to bring to your memory. He's going to bring it to your memory. Well, I don't have Jesus standing beside me today the way they did, do you? No, we don't. But guess what? We have the Holy Spirit living within us. And the Holy Spirit brings to our memory the Word of God that we have placed within our heart and soul. You see, when I study the Word of God, when I read the Word of God, when I memorize Bible verses, I am feeding upon, I'm feasting upon the truth of God's Word. And in those moments when needed, the Holy Spirit will bring that truth to my mind and to my tongue that I might share with those who need that same spiritual food. Now, if I'm empty, there's nothing in here, because I've been lazy, because I've been indifferent, because I haven't read the Scripture, because I haven't memorized some basic Bible verses that explain how to have a relationship with God, then there's nothing in here for God to bring out, and He won't. God's not going to bring something out of an empty, lazy vessel. So read your Bible. Read your Bible. Memorize a few Bible verses. Memorize some basic Bible verses. And then God will bring those. The Holy Spirit will bring those to your remembrance and help you know what to say. So, in evangelism and witnessing, the Holy Spirit works in us as believers to give us power and boldness, to help us know what to say. He goes in front of us. He guides us. He prompts us. But here's the other thing. The Holy Spirit's also working in the life of the person you're witnessing to. He's working in the life of lost people. Look in chapter 2 of Acts. Peter preaches this powerful sermon on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people get saved. But look at verse 37. The Bible says, when they heard this, they were pierced, cut to the heart. Who did that? Who did that? The Holy Spirit. You see, there may not be a visible expression on somebody's face that lets you know what's going on in their heart. Stop trying to read everybody. You can't read everybody. You're not God. The Holy Spirit pierces people to the heart. He convicts them. Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verse 8, said, "And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment." Those three things. You see, the Holy Spirit convinces somebody that they are a sinner and there's consequences to that sin. The Holy Spirit convinces someone that they are not righteous, but they need to be righteous. And the only way to be righteous is in Christ. He convinces them of that. I can't. He does. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts them of judgment, that life is not a free ride. There is accountability, and someday you have to step up to the plate and give an answer for your life and give an answer for your choices. And do you know what He uses? This. You and I get so hung up on our responsibility to convince people. What if they don't believe the Bible? What if they don't believe in God? What if? You can spend 20 years trying to convince somebody that this is God's Word, and just share the Word. Now, there's things you can learn and help people. I'm not saying don't learn. But in the end, the only thing that's going to convince someone there's a heaven and a hell, there's a God or there's not, this is God's Word or not, they need Christ or not, is share with them lovingly the truth of God and the power of God and let God work in their life. Because you will never, with your own intellect, convince anybody they need Jesus Christ. This is spiritual work. And we put on our shoulders the responsibility that belongs to God. And you don't find that in Scripture. In Scripture, it's the Holy Spirit who convicts people, who calls people. It is the Holy Spirit who convinces people. It is the Holy Spirit who converts people. It's never me. It's never you. It's never us. It's always Him. We are the ones who love people, who pray for people, who minister to people, who share with people, who help them know the Word of God. But He is the one who works in their hearts. That's His job, not my job. Do you get that? Not everybody's going to say yes. In fact, more people will say no than say yes. Jesus said that more are going to hell than heaven. Not everybody's going to say yes. A lot will. A lot will. Look around this room. A lot of people will. But what about those who say no? What about those who say no? Well, look in Acts chapter 7, one last verse. Acts chapter 7. This is when Stephen, that first Christian martyr, near the end of his sermon to this crowd that's very antagonistic and is getting ready to stone him. He says to them in verse 51, "You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting who? Who? The Holy Spirit." See, if someone really gets saved, they're not saying yes to you. They're saying yes to Jesus. When someone says no, they're not really saying no to you. They're saying no to the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're a jerk, they might say no to you. If you really don't love them, they'll pick up on that and they'll say no to you. But if they know you and you care about them and they know you care, and they know you're genuine, if they say no, they're not saying no to you. They're saying no to the Holy Spirit. I'll close with this. Early in my ministry here, 20 years ago or so, we'd gone through a lot of transition and stuff. One of the guys who never pastored a really big church that was a good friend to me and encouraged me, and I can remember being over in his gym shooting hoops with him one night, just the two of us talking. And some of you know him, old Brother Bully Falkenberry. For years, pastored over at Eastside. Bully was a character. Now, Bully could say things and get away with it that I can't say and get away with. Okay? He was just one of those guys. You know, just a character. And I remember Bully telling me years ago about going to Chester one day, one Saturday morning, to visit an old man that he knew who was lost. And he was in his house, and this guy was frying sausage for breakfast. And so Bully started talking to him about Jesus. And after a while, this old man said, "Just, Bully, be quiet. I don't want to hear anymore. Don't just stop talking." Bully got up, headed toward the door, and said, "Okay, I'll never say another word, and you can go to hell and fry just like that sausage." Now, doesn't that sound like Bully, those of you who know him? Now, I can't say that and get away with it, but he could to this guy. They knew each other. He could say it. So Bully got in his car and drove back to Rock Hill, pulled into his driveway, and as he was getting out of his car, that old man pulled in behind him. That old man got out of his car, walked up, and Bully said, "I'm so sorry. I don't want to go to hell and fry like that sausage. I want to get saved." You see, too often, we make it all about us. It's all about us. Think a minute. Do you realize how self-centered that view of the world is? How egocentric that approach to living and spiritual things really is? It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about us being real. It's about us being real. This is his work. In John chapter 3, Jesus described the work of the Holy Spirit like the wind. He said the wind blows. You can't see the wind, but you can sure see what it does. He said that's how the Holy Spirit works. I can't see the Holy Spirit, neither can you. But boy, he works. I know when he speaks to my heart. And I just happen to believe what the Scripture says, that he's also talking to other people. And when I understand that the Holy Spirit's working in me, but he's also working out there in other people. Remember, in the life of the believer and in the life of the lost person. But he's also working in the experiences he creates, those holy intersections. You just have to believe and then watch God work. So surrender to the Spirit. Let him fill you, control you, and use you. And stop making it about you.